Welcome to episode 4 of Uncapped.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware, but you're the first guest.
I am.
So some would say that's an honor.
Wonderful to be here.
Tell us about yourself. Who are you exactly for those that don't know?
Yeah, seriously.
You're Declan.
I am Declan. Your lifelong lover, some would say. That's how they describe me.
Okay.
What else do you want to know?
Well,
weird telling you all the shit you already know about me.
Well, let me ask you, Declan. I asked you to be today's guest. Do you know what today's theme is?
Studio Ghibli Day.
Exactly. You guys heard it here first.
Yes.
We're talking all things Studio Ghibli. And I think you're the perfect guest for this episode, but do you also think you're the perfect guest for this episode?
Absolutely. I think I'm the perfect guest for any episode.
Why would you say you're the perfect guest for Studio Ghibli?
Because I'm a fucking nerd.
You're a nerd?
It's a problem. And I watch them more than you do, which is an issue.
That's true. I saw a few movies before you've entered my life, but yes. You definitely got me into Studio Ghibli and I would say anime in general.
Exactly.
So that's why you're the very first guest on episode 4, all things Studio Ghibli.
Yes.
We're uncapping it.
Uncapping it.
Now, I started last episode, I'm not sure if you heard, I'm giving a movie recommendation for everyone this week that's not on par with the theme of the episode.
Okay, so not Ponyo.
No, not okay. Ponyo.
Got it.
So I would say this week's recommendation, I would say Apocalypse Now.
Okay, yes.
Watched it last night. Fucking phenomenal. It is by, directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I have no idea.
Okay. I hope I'm saying it right. Like, I know how to spell it, but...
Be close enough.
But if you don't know who he is, he directed Godfather Part 1, Part 2.
Okay.
I would say Apocalypse Now beats those movies by far. It was phenomenal. It is about Vietnam War, but also about the struggle in a man's mind, the hell he faces in reality and in his mind. It was amazing. I would say 3 hours and 18 minutes of fun.
Good.
Well, not fun, but
yeah, well,
I had a good time. Like
that. Entertainment.
So you should definitely watch that.
Absolutely.
I didn't return the movie from the library.
So we'll watch it together.
Yeah, if you wanted to watch it.
Absolutely.
Now, for those that don't know, because we're going to get into Studio Ghibli now.
Yes.
For those that don't know, Studio Ghibli is, I would say, one of the biggest animation studios in the whole world. Probably one of the most important animation studios.
It's up there.
Wouldn't you say?
I would say.
And
they're, or at least in like... the West.
In the West, yeah. Yes. I think they're finally getting their recognition in America now, at least in the last few decades, because their movies just reach not just a younger audience, but an older audience, and it's not just cartoons. There's an emotional depth to Studio Ghibli movies.
Absolutely.
You would agree with that?
100%.
And I think that's why we have to talk about it, because at first glance, when talking about AMC, when I was working there, someone said their favorite movie was Spirited Away. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I was 16 at the time. Watched it, fell in love, and I gave Studio Ghibli my respect forever.
Exactly.
So that's why we have to talk
about
it.
As you should.
But also, several A-listers are a part of Studio Ghibli as well. So Hollywood, I would say, is recognizing the importance of this animation studio too.
Definitely.
Just to name a few, we have Christian Bale, Cate Blanchett, Bridget Mendler.
Of course.
Not that she's an A-lister.
The goat.
her resume is insane.
It is.
Good Luck Charlie.
Fucking top satellites
hurricane.
In the space. Top charting hit Hurricane.
Harvard grad, I would say.
Yes. No, think MIT.
Okay. Something.
One of that doesn't. Yeah,
it doesn't
one of the
take away
ones.
From anything she's accomplished, but still.
Absolutely.
But, alas, still Studio Ghibli. They're known for their groundbreaking films that have, I would say, influence pop culture, mainstream pop culture today.
Definitely.
Now, I have some questions for you, kind of. Not about the movies yet. We're going to get into that soon. Okay. But questions about Studio Ghibli as a whole.
Shoot.
All right. Now, how has Studio Ghibli impacted you? And is there a specific movie that you'd say resonates with you the most?
I mean, one, it definitely, like, grew my appreciation and, like, love for anime in general,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, all I watch now, which we both know, obviously.
That is true.
But I would say Howl's Moving Castle, probably,
yeah.
is the one that, like, influenced me the most. I don't know why I feel like the...
like storyline.
I think like the, I mean, they all kind of, or in a lot of senses and reasons for most of the Studio Ghibli movies and his movies in general, is that they kind of all center focus around that different style of theme of love. But I feel like Howl's Moving Castle is like the most, not necessarily intricate, because I think I'd give that to like Princess Mononoke or something like that. But I think that it is the most relatable kind of style of it, in the sense where you have this woman who, although very beautiful, is like extraordinarily insecure. And then
relatable.
A man who's exactly the same, but kind of almost opposite, where it's like he's so overly confident but insecure, which I feel like is just on par for Gen Z.
That is on par.
If you really fucking look at it. But I think the growth in both people and kind of how it's portrayed is very, is a little bit, I would say, much more digestible in general. And maybe necessarily not that it doesn't take as much thinking, but that it's kind of a little bit more up front and is a little bit more in the forefront. Whereas like in something like A Princess Mononoke, it's a lot of these other colliding ideas and a lot of different like social commentaries at one part, but also has that in like a very specific and different kind of undertone. But I would say Howl's Moving Castle overall. Final answer.
Well, with that, this kind of ties into another question I had. Is there a character that you relate to the most, or it doesn't have to be a specific character? Are there certain traits you feel that you find in yourself?
Maybe
mine's Chihiro, but we'll get into that.
I would say like the character I want to be the most is Howl, because like we've had that conversation one too many times.
We were gonna be them for Halloween.
We were. Fell short, unfortunately, but we didn't feel like looking Amish.
I will clip in a picture of Sophie's outfit. Absolutely. And the girlies will know why I chose against that route.
Exactly. But I would say that who I'm most similar to or relate to the most would be, I would say it's like a toss up between like Ashitaka or Haku.
Okay.
Just because of
What movies are they from our friends that don't know?
Princess Mononoke, and then, which is Ashitaka, and then Spirited Away, which is Haku, which I think, like, I feel like I'm kind of, like, in the middle between those two. If I had to put it up together, I couldn't say that I have, like, most of the attributes of either of them, but, like, I would say their willingness to, one, protect what they love, and also, two, their kind of, like, commitment to their endeavor and their goal, and like their kind of like unwavering discipline, especially Ashitaka in that sense, is I think something that is a bit more closely related to me. I would love to say Howl, but unfortunately I'm not like a zesty ass wizard who just like kind of walks on air. So, but yeah,
maybe in another life.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's see what happens.
But that's very interesting, your take on that, because that's why I think that Studio Ghibli has the power to resonate with everyone. Because, well, obviously Pixar is another animation studio that builds in those deep themes.
And we love Pixar over here.
We do love Pixar, but
we have to do a Pixar episode. It'd be a fucking problem.
I know.
Talk about Soul for an hour and a half.
Maybe one day if the fans want you back. But no, I just feel like Studio Ghibli, their emotional depth, the allegories, the metaphors, everything they have in their movies is unlike Pixar. Like, I think it takes it to a whole new level.
Definitely. I think it's more tailored towards like a multifaceted audience in a lot of different ways. Well, not that Pixar isn't, but that I think that it is more...
There's certain movies, I feel like, for certain age groups within Studio Ghibli.
Definitely. I mean, like, for example, like, the difference between Princess Mononoke and something like Ponyo.
Like Ponyo, yeah.
Is, like, you know, unbelievable, and is definitely a...
They just got a wide range.
Yeah, and I do think Pixar is very similar in that sense as well, but, like, I don't...
But I think they are, like, catered more towards... Like, they want the adults to see it when they take their children,
yeah, it's like,
you know?
It's like they implement it in the sense of that... I don't know, Pixar is, like, very different. I feel like they have specific movies that they... Like, Pixar kind of makes them... to, like, be watched as a kid and then rewatched as an adult. Mm-hmm. Or I feel like the like Studio Ghibli makes them so that you can kind of have that same exact like journey with it, where you watch it when you're younger and then watch it when you're older, but the nuances in the movies are like very specific, and I feel like tailored very differently than Pixar.
Agreed. Well put.
I would say.
Yeah.
If I had to take my best guess.
I kind of, yeah. With that, I have another question for you that I wanted to ask.
Yes.
How would you say that Studio Ghibli has impacted our generation? Do you think it'll continue to impact like the new generations with their new films?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many new films they're going to have. I'm pretty sure he retired.
Right? Like, do you think it's dying out?
Like, not necessarily.
The peak of Studio Ghibli, do you think?
Well, like, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work. Like, I know where he was supposed to retire, but then, like, there's been rumors that he didn't after Boy and the Heron, but I would say that I think it still will. I think that unlike a lot of, I mean, in general, like, society-wise, mm-hmm. however you say it, would be that the core values of kind of what the studio would want and what he would want would be more upheld by the people who work under him, rather than like in America where like some people kind of can just switch it for a cash grab.
Yes.
And it's a little bit more of a common theme where you kind of see, for example, Disney, again, just not to fucking bring it up and keep comparing them, but like Disney is, as a whole, is nothing anywhere. Like, they took Star Wars and fucking ran that into the ground.
They sure did.
So I think that it'll still be able to impact future generations, and I think maybe, and it's more led up to opinion on if it's getting better or worse, but I still think that it'll have the same effect as it goes down the line. And as long as they keep like that core integrity that it has right now through like the full process of it and kind of moving forward, I think they'll be more than fine.
If it's anything like Boy and the Heron, then
I think they're going to be great.
Yeah. Some say that is his best movie since Spirited Away.
I think definitely artistically it would absolutely be like his best movie.
I think they're along the same lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways too. But like, I definitely think that is up there as like one of his much better movies, absolutely.
And for those that don't know who he and his is that we keep discussing, I might butcher his name, but Miyazaki? Yes. Yeah. He is the GOAT of Studio Ghibli.
Yes.
For those that are unaware.
Yes.
Now, we're going to play a little game, if that's all right with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like tier ranking, but you don't know what's coming next. So basically, it's this or that.
Okay.
I'm going to say a Studio Ghibli movie. You're going to not even rank it. I'm going to say two Studio Ghibli movies, and you're going to say which you prefer. And the last one standing, we're going to take a deep dive into that. Right. So that's kind of like your pick. Okay. The winner.
Of course.
And then we're also going to take a deep dive into my favorite Studio Ghibli movie, the one of my choosing.
Okay.
So we're gonna take a deep dive into these two movies.
Absolutely.
So, are you ready to begin?
Let's do it.
Okay. Round one. Ponyo or My Neighbor Totoro?
Ponyo, just because we watched it.
Yeah, okay. So then Ponyo or Kiki's Delivery Service?
Kiki's.
Interesting. I
know you hate that movie.
Kiki's Delivery Service or Castle in the Sky?
Castle in the Sky.
All right, this one might be tough. Castle in the Sky or Howl's Moving Castle?
Howl's.
Howl's Moving Castle or Princess Mononoke?
Fuck. Princess Mononoke.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then Princess Mononoke or Spirited Away?
Princess Mononoke.
Perfect, because I am taking a deep dive into Spirited Away. Perfect. So that,
you're welcome.
Thank you for setting my skit up as intended.
Absolutely.
Would you like to talk about Princess Mononoke first or Spirited Away? You're the guest, so you get to pick.
See, Spirited Away. Ladies first, always.
Why, thank you.
Of course.
So, Spirited Away, it's my personal favorite. It was the first one I ever watched, and it just blew me away. One of my very good friends, shout out, just watched Spirited Away for the first time, and Daniela. And as someone who said they don't want to watch anime, she said it blew her away. 5-star rating on Letterboxd is what she gave Spirited Away, as did I. I think this movie's phenomenal. I would also say that it's Studio Ghibli's best movie, in my personal opinion.
I feel like that's a fair take.
Right? Just with... Yeah. I think that was the first movie of Studio Ghibli to really reach people.
Yeah.
Especially in Hollywood or in America, I would say.
I'd say, like, it definitely was
Like, it took the world by storm.
Yeah, like, definitely, like, around our age, too, I feel like, because it came out, like, right around when we were born.
Yes, 2003, I think.
Yeah. So, I think that definitely opened a lot of doors for it. Although, like, there is a lot of Studio Ghibli that kind of goes completely, like, under the radar, not talked about at all. Like,
that's true.
I haven't watched it, but The Wind Blows is apparently also, like, his
Maybe best. We'll watch it later.
We should. But that's apparently, like, one of the most, like, one of his best movies, which we haven't even seen. But anyway, enough yap. You continue.
No. I love this little yapping conversation. Also, speaking of, I guess, taking the world by storm, if you weren't aware, Spirited Away won Best Animated Picture at the Oscars for, I would say, if it came out in 2003, then probably 2004.
Yeah.
I would also say it's one of the greatest movies of all time, in my personal opinion. And I think that's hard to say, because when people hear an animated movie is one of the greatest movies of all time, you're like, ugh.
Well, I think it definitely is most,
like, especially
in Western world, like in America and things like that. And in the West, it's definitely much more, I think it's one of the more influential animated films, or just like pieces of animated work, absolutely. And I think that it definitely, like, kind of took it to the next level, where, like, you had, like, Akira, which was, like, the first one, and then kind of,
yes,
then also gives you this new avenue of where it can appeal to a much larger audience than just, like, being something that people would want to watch and how it could survive over here. It's like, it really, I think, kind of pushed the needle on just how, like, wide spread of, like, a genre that it could take over. So,
and it did take over.
It did.
Visually, I think that movie is stunning.
It is. Absolutely.
And I think Boy in the Heron,
yeah,
resembles that very closely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a sucker for a coming of age story. And of while course. It's not, I mean, I would
shout say, out Lady Bird.
Shout out Lady Bird. In terms, it is a coming of age story. I mean,
it absolutely is.
Chihiro, I feel like I resonate with her just surface level. She's an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And watching that movie, I don't know what the fuck I would do if my parents were turned into pigs. Like, you're, I don't know
exactly what she did.
I don't know if I'd persevere like that.
You'd have to.
And Chihiro's also a fire Billie Eilish song.
It is. It's true.
So that's just another reason why.
It's up there.
It's up there. But anyway, sucker for a coming of age story. This movie just takes you through the journey of self-discovery, transformation. She grows. Chihiro throughout this movie in more ways than one.
Absolutely. She becomes a young adult.
She does.
In many ways.
I like all the symbolism that was carefully crafted into this movie. Like, my first watch, I feel like I might have missed some of it, but second watch, like, how nature is such a big part of that movie, and mm-hmm. how it critiques the, I don't know, it critiques how, I guess, humans in your real life treat nature, and also does that within the movie. I also think that the message with prioritizing material gain over compassion can lead to dire consequences.
And greed.
And greed. So,
you papa.
Exactly. I just think that I've been saying it this whole episode, but there's just an emotional depth to Spirited Away that,
absolutely,
that you might need to watch more than once to really peel off all the layers, but it is just phenomenal.
It's amazing.
It's a great movie. I would say, yeah, I think if I could pick one Studio Ghibli movie to watch for the rest of my life, it would be Spirited Away.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. Like I just said, visually, it's just stunning. I don't think you know what to expect when you're watching it, even, like, where it's going next.
Definitely.
And then I think the ending, like I just said, and the whole parents getting turned into pigs, like, that whole aspect just takes you... My heart was pumping when I watched that.
That's for sure.
It was just amazing. I think that any age can find enjoyment in that. I mean, maybe a younger age group might miss all the layers, but anyone... Yeah, but
I think that's kind of the point of it in a lot of ways, too.
Spirited Away is an onion.
Definitely. I think they all are. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I think that is intentional as well.
Yes.
It's like when you do come back to it, it's kind of when you have more nuance in yourself, you understand more nuance in the story. It's like something that grows with you, hence the idea of coming of age.
Who doesn't love a coming of age story?
Exactly.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, I think that Spirited Away is... We might have to watch that tonight.
Definitely.
For anyone...
We'll do a little binge since we'll we're do on a little, Studio Ghibli Day.
Exactly. Anyone that hasn't seen, I mean, if there's one Studio Ghibli to watch, at least for your first go around with Studio Ghibli, I'd say Spirited Away is the one to get you.
It's a great introductory.
Because it'll just knock your socks off, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Is there anything you'd like to add with Spirited Away?
No. I think we covered all the grounds.
Right?
For the most part.
I don't want to... I mean, I know it's been out for 2 decades now, but I don't want to spoil that much if people are debating putting it on HBO Max tonight.
Exactly.
So let's get in a... Let's do a deep dive into your winner, Princess Mononoke. First off, re-release coming next week, March 26th in IMAX.
They fucking canceled it. Goddamn AMC.
Well, we're going to the 7 p.m. showing.
I know, but still.
It's
going
to be packed, but if...
It was messed up.
If there's a time to see a Studio Ghibli movie, go see it in IMAX. I am stoked. This movie came out in, what, 97? 90... Late 90s.
Late 90s, I believe.
So it's gonna be a whirlwind. But that was just, I had to do a little shout out because you know I like to encourage the folks to go back to the theater.
Exactly.
But let's get into it. So why this movie? Why would you say that's your victor?
I would say that, like, in the sense of, like, if I had to watch a Studio Ghibli movie to watch for the rest of my life, I would pick Howl's.
Okay.
But I think that the best Studio Ghibli movie in general, like, to me, kind of objectively, would be this one, just because not only is it obviously tailored to, like, a bit more of a mature audience.
It is.
It is PG-13, and, like, it is, there's definitely much more heavier depiction of violence in, like, a much less lighthearted way. I think that the story in and of itself is so broad, but is tied together so perfectly. I'm a sucker for a bittersweet ending as well.
Yes.
So I do love the fact that it's implied that they do stay together, but that kind of, like, in the end game, obviously they can't necessarily be together, which is wonderful. But then they're going to help rebuild the forest. But also I think that overall the movie is very complex and piling these different ideas.
It is very complex.
And I think, I mean, I'm a big, I mean, Save the Bees, of course. I'm a big planet guy.
You're a big one you're an environmentalist.
I am, most definitely. And I'm very, very much so about the preservation of nature and how important it is to...
That's why you like WALL-E.
Yeah, exactly. But how important it is to just, like, appreciate properly the world that we've been given. And I think that this does a great job, and I think really shows, like, how severe of an impact that you can have on being so detrimental to the environment intentionally without caring at all. Not that necessarily you can't use the resources around you. Obviously, that's what they're here for, and, like, it's part of nature. But when you have a coal mine, essentially, right outside the forest, sucking all the life out of it, and turning animals into demons and, like, completely different, essentially, species of what that animal once was, and, like, memories and ghosts of the past. And nobody gives a shit because all they're trying to do is take out the most famous spirit in the entire forest. I think really goes to show just, like, how detrimental the humanity can be to the world that we live in. And I think that the way it kind of portrays that through all the different animals and the different relationships between, like, humans and nature, as well as, like, the animals and humanity, and as well as just in general the idea that a human was taken in by wolves, but also the relationship between this prince of a tribe in, like, the middle of fucking nowhere and also other human who's technically seen as, like, wolf blood can also create this relationship and be the two factors that come together and kind of, like, reuniting the idea of preserving the forest and, like, preserving the nature and everything around you.
It was well said.
Thank you.
And I think that that theme, while that's one of the main focuses of Princess Mononoke, I think is a underlying theme that goes in many of the Studio Ghibli movies as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about Princess Mononoke. Like, I had to watch a few breakdown videos after I completed it because... Definitely.
There's a lot of, like, symbolism of war and everything in it as well.
It just takes your mind for a whirlwind.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it portrays everything necessary very well. And, like, I think the portrayals of, like, violence and war and, like, human violence, not only on nature and, like, other species, things like that, but, like, human violence, like human on human violence together, and these like really insanely intricate depictions of like battle between each other and injury and things of that nature. And even Ashitaka in his own right, like being poisoned with essentially this curse that he can't get rid of that will kill him no matter what, because he's just being consumed by that anger, essentially, is what it's like portraying. And his willingness to not necessarily find a cure, but do whatever he can to stop the spread of that any further after being infected by it, mm-hmm. I think is wonderful.
Well and done. Just
really, I think it's a very powerful movie when you peel back.
It's an onion.
The Shrek onion of the movie itself.
Also visually stunning as well.
Absolutely.
I think that's something that you're not going to not find in any of these movies.
That's when all the stuff was pretty much hand-drawn completely, too, still. Which is pretty crazy.
You know, yeah. I was looking at Studio Ghibli, all their films, and I didn't realize that in 2020 they tried to do little, I guess, 3D animation with one of those movies, and it just doesn't give off the same...
Which movie was it?
I'll have to put a little clip in of what it is, because I genuinely don't remember, but it said 2020, and it looked like an early 2000s Nickelodeon, like, 3D type of animation.
I don't know.
I know, so I don't know why they strayed off from their normal route, but obviously they went right back.
Artistically, probably, mm-hmm. which is fine as well, but...
Since they went right back to it, mm-hmm. their normal route.
That was definitely also, like, kind of the path that it was going into. But I think that the perception could have been skewed in a way where, like, that's what people wanted to see here, because that's what a lot of...
I know,
There's a lot of, like, CGI going into anime and things like that, which... works for some shows, but also just doesn't work for certain ones.
I do not think it works for Studio Ghibli.
At all. I think that there's art styles way too specific. But like something like Demon Slayer, which obviously not necessarily related, but an anime where they can mm-hmm. use CGI so seamlessly to bring out like the vibrancy of these like very heavily depicted, which you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about, but like heavily depicted artistic visual representations of like what they're doing in the actual show. The CGI works wonderfully in that because it's used so specifically mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be used on a broader scale where like the Studio Ghibli is so cinematic in so many different ways. Yes. Like especially with Kiki's Delivery Service, which is my brother's favorite Studio Ghibli town and setting. Because it's just,
I will agree.
But mm-hmm. it's so cinematic to where I don't think like CGI would do that any justice. It takes out the intricacy of like what a human hand can really do and
exactly kind
of the detail that it can give. So anyway,
it's beautiful. And one day when we get to Japan,
yeah,
we plan on touring all Studio Ghibli has to offer.
Absolutely.
I wasn't planning on asking this, but now I'm curious since I know my answer. Is there a Studio Ghibli film you hate that you would not recommend? Mine would be Porco Rosso.
I can't believe that Aiden loves that one too, my brother. I
hated the ending. If you guys like an open-ended ending, do not watch that movie.
Yeah, no, that movie, like the ending, he caught a lot of flack for that apparently, actually.
Michael Keaton's in it. I didn't realize.
Really?
He's Porco.
He's Porco.
Yeah.
He's the main character.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, this voice sounds familiar.
I didn't know that, I mean, not that, I didn't know that, but I know that he caught a lot of flack for that ending when it came out. A lot of people didn't like it because it's so vastly different from... I do think it's a selfish reason, though, in hindsight and, like, looking back at it mm-hmm. now after having seen it multiple times, because I think it's completely in character to have the ending be what it is.
Like, and I understand that. I think it makes
complete sense. But...
I think there was no excitement for me.
Yeah. But the movie. I do think that I think that's definitely a movie, or at least with its main character, where it's kind of more tailored to a specific experience.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. I don't know, like, the social commentaries around it from the time that, like, it was made, because, I mean, I know it's set in, obviously, like, some sort of wartime.
Yes.
But I don't... I think the idea of, like, him seeing himself... as a pig, and that's how he's portrayed essentially through the whole movie, is definitely more so like a specific, there's like, it's not necessarily as layered, it's like a very straightforward idea,
yeah,
which is expanded mm-hmm. on very well, but I feel like that's also a big difference from it too, is that like it's not so layered in this,
it's not so
thing.
Much of an onion.
It's really, it's extraordinarily straightforward of like, this is a man, like this is how he sees himself and this is how he believes he is seen to everybody else, and in a lot of ways, like a lot of people do see him like that. But yeah, I think it's definitely a bit more straightforward, and it's much, much different. But I love that movie.
You would recommend it?
So, yeah, I would absolutely recommend Porco Rosso. All
right, so what is one that you would not, or what is one that you're not going to watch again anytime soon? Or is that hard?
Like, what I wouldn't recommend?
What is your,
like, I feel like one you could go without watching, if, like, you're older, or, like, anytime soon.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it as, like, a first movie, but I would say, like, Ponyo, just because it is such, like, a children's movie. It's fucking hilarious. And
it was hilarious. I didn't realize that Cate Blanchett was in that. I avoided watching it for the longest time because, Ponyo, do you remember the commercials when we were young with, no. like, oh, my God. I remember it would be, like, a Sunday, and every time I saw this commercial, I'm like, oh, no good shows are coming on because we got this dumbass Ponyo commercials with Noah Cyrus and Frankie Jonas. Yeah. You know what I meant.
The most important Jonas brother.
Well, he is in a Studio Ghibli film.
Exactly.
And then the TikTok sound.
Suck it, Joe Jonas.
Oh my God, hate him. The TikTok sound, the Ponyo fishy song, made me never want to watch that movie, but I had a fun time watching. It was super cute. It's definitely for a younger age group, I'd say.
It's a complete children's movie. It's rated G.
Well, that's how I feel like on the same level as My Neighbor Totoro, but I fucking love Totoro.
Yeah, but like Totoro, I feel like
that's a classic.
It's much different than like mm-hmm. Ponyo in a lot of ways too, though. Like it's well, absolutely Totoro, a complete children's movie, but I feel like it's,
there's no plot. I would say
like there's that not
it's just pretty.
Yeah, like not necessarily that there isn't any plot, but I feel like, it's not, like, there's definitely a pretty intricate idea of, like, love placed into Ponyo.
There is.
You know what I mean? And, like,
it was cute.
It, but, again, like, it's just, like, I'm not, but I also wouldn't recommend Totoro to anybody who's fucking in their 20s to watch it first things first. Like,
really? That's what I told Daniela to watch.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, my thing is that I wouldn't, I mean, obviously, because personally, it's not, like, something that's high on my list, but, or in the rankings of,
true.
What I'm going to tell somebody to watch.
You can't put Totoro in the same category as like Princess Mononoke, Spirited
exactly,
Away.
Exactly, it's a completely different movie. But not that I wouldn't recommend, I would recommend all of them, but I'm not,
I guess you're a true
I'm
fan.
I'm not going to tell anybody, yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody like, hey,
don't
watch Ponyo. Like, no, watch it. It's hilarious.
And then you'll sing along for the next 24 hours
exactly.
to the Ponyo
fishy
song.
I'm coming up on 48, so.
That's true. It has been stuff. Yeah. I'll put that as the song at the end if it's
absolutely.
Royalty
yeah,
free.
If you want to get fucking a lawsuit, but.
You think?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well,
maybe Noah Cyrus will give me the rights
yeah,
if
sure.
this pops up on her For You page.
Maybe.
But that really wraps up today's episode. We really took a deep dive into, I'm glad that you picked Princess Mononoke because those are my two favorites selfishly. And I think that they are the most layered movies. So
I'm surprised we didn't talk about Castle in the Sky at all.
I still haven't finished Castle in the Sky.
Are you fucking serious?
So
it's such a great movie.
Well,
now that's a fucking, that's a movie about.
Do you want to give like a little?
No, we'll
all
save
right.
it for another
time. Okay,
but that's a really great.
We'll
depiction
do a part
of,
two.
That's a great movie of about over weaponization and like militarization.
From what I gathered, from what I saw so far, I fell asleep. Not that anything was wrong with the movie, but it was nice from what I watched so far.
It's fucking really good. It's definitely a lot slower than a lot of the other movies. But first, I would say the most visually stunning movie that he has.
Interesting.
Except Boy and the Heron, just because of the fact that, I mean, it's like made about almost 30 years after
yeah.
that one's made. So like it's not really a fair comparison in that sense. But his most visually stunning environment.
Castle in the Sky.
Absolutely.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, one that we should tell people not to watch, unless you want to cry,
Grave
of the Fireflies.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that before. I was like, definitely don't seek that one out. No. Unless you want to, like, be traumatized for a while. But
it definitely...
You might get the candies that I got from it, though, because I'm a fucking freak job.
A goober.
But, yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a movie that everyone should see at least once.
Absolutely.
But...
That's not... Definitely not a rewatcher,
I personally never
though.
Watch that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, not because it was bad, just based on the fact that it's, like, extraordinarily, like, a... Sad. Holy fuck.
Like, if you watch that for enjoyment...
So fucked up. Yeah.
But that really takes the end of this episode. Thanks for coming along.
Absolutely.
Declan.
That's what I did.
Alter Ego.
D-Will.
D-Will.
Alter Ego Thrill / D-Thrill.
All of the above. Yeah. Any of those names, I'll tag you. Absolutely. By all of those.
Perfect.
But thank you for joining us, everyone. I hope you enjoyed. Anything you'd like to say to the fans before we go?
D-Will on Spotify and Apple Music.
You heard it here.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Dead Poets by Day.
That's real shit.
Stream now.
Exactly. It's only been out since December.
Actually, November 30th.
Oh, well, sorry, Mrs. Calendar over there. My bad.
But thanks for joining us. I love Studio Ghibli. I think that a lot of that is from you, from broadening my horizon.
That's
with a lot of those films. So I think you're the perfect guest to join us today.
Absolutely.
And hope you come back on the podcast soon.
Of course. Well, whenever you want me.
You got
I
it.
I hang out with you every day. So
everyone, go see Princess Mononoke in theaters, or just go see a movie.
Absolutely.
In theaters. And we will be back next week with what yet? I have no clue.
We're going to figure it out.
But we're going to figure it out, and we're going to have fun doing it.
Exactly.
Peace.
Peace.